Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, reading the first 12 verses. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as you know, this scripture lesson today is called the Beatitudes. I've heard some preachers call it the Be Happy Attitudes. But you've lived with these Beatitudes your whole life, and so am I. And I tell you, I can't read it without thinking of that Monty Python movie, Life of Brian. It's so good. So it starts out with Jesus on the mount. It's a close-up shot, and he's doing, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And he draws back, the camera's drawn back, and you see more and more people, and he keeps talking, and it gets fainter and fainter the farther away you get. And finally, it looks like Woodstock. You know, there's thousands of people, and Jesus doesn't have a microphone. He's just saying this stuff, and the people at the back can't hear very well. And so they're shushing each other. You know, and they're, "What? Shh, I didn't hear what he said." And so finally, when Jesus gets to "Blessed are the peacemakers," somebody goes, "What'd he say?" And then another person says, "He said, 'Blessed are the cheesemakers.'" And then this woman goes, "Well, what's he blessing the cheesemakers for?" And then there's this other guy who says, "It's not meant to be taken literally. It refers to any manufacturers of dairy products." It's so good. And I can't help it. That's what I think of when I hear the Beatitudes. And that crowd. And you know, if you want to see it, I just want to make sure I got it right. So you can go on YouTube and just type in the search, "Life of Brian, Blessed are the Cheesemakers," and it'll go right to it. It's so good. Blessed are the Cheesemakers. Thought about that for the sermon title, but decided not to. But you know, you think about it, makes you wonder, what was the crowd like that day? What were they like when they heard these things? So we kind of know, first century, there's no health care. There's no social safety net, you know, welfare, any kind of unemployment insurance, you know, any of that kind of stuff, Medicaid, there's nothing. And so what you've got is you've got a lot of kind of down and out people. Generally, they said during that time, if a woman had five children, that she would bury three of them. Three of them would not get to adulthood, which is going, you know, that's just soul crushing. One is a horrible, horrible thing. So there was a lot of, you know, there are people who were just, they were totally poverty stricken. And what they had done is they had gathered right before now, what Jesus has mainly done, he's done some teaching in the synagogue, but mostly he's been healing people of their diseases. and their infirmities, and strengthening their limbs and casting out spirits and all these different things. And that's why they're gathering. They don't know he's going to do this sermon. This is his first big sermon of establishing what he believes and what his ministry, what his life is going to be based on. And so he says these things. Verse 3, to that crowd of suffering, poor, indigent people, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. And blessed are you who are being persecuted, as I'm sure people were. And, you know, I'm sure there are some people sitting there kind of nodding and scratching and thinking, but I bet you also there are some people who were just stunned by that. Here they're expecting to be healed of their diseases, and he's saying, oh, you're blessed just the way you are. You know, my child has died, and that is just destroying me on the inside, and I am blessed because of that. I've been beaten down so many times by my boss man that now I'm meek, and that is blessed. I'm poor, both for real and in spirit, and I'm blessed. What? Really? I'm blessed because of that? And I wonder if maybe we feel the same way today here. You know, think of the things that are going on. We could say the same things. If we're mourning right now, and I know some of us are, we're blessed because of that. If we've been in a hospital room now for days, we're blessed. Really? I carry these wounds around with me from my childhood. People who should have loved me hurt me so that I can hardly have normal conversations, and I'm blessed because of that. It's okay to be incredulous when you hear the Beatitudes. What is getting in the way of our feeling, truly feeling blessed? I usually like, when I'm struggling like this, I usually like to go back to the original language. And the word in Greek is makarios, M-A-R-K-A-R-I-O-S, makarios. And in the Greek, makarios can mean blessed or it can be happy. Happy are those. But here's the catch. Jesus didn't preach in Greek. Jesus didn't know Greek. Jesus preached in a language called Aramaic, which is like street Hebrew. So whoever, you know, these stories that Matthew was getting and writing down in Greek, they were told in Aramaic first. And I'm wondering what that word was. And I was really helped by this. There's an Episcopal pastor who preached on this. His name was John Roars. And he said, what if we aren't hearing it quite right? What if we've lost something in translation? And this is the cool part right here. What if by blessed, what he really meant was beloved? Beloved are the poor in spirit. Beloved are those who mourn. Beloved are the meek and those who hunger for righteousness. Well, that changes things, because now it's not so much about what those people were feeling as it is a statement about the compassion of God. Maybe Jesus was telling them that they are not abandoned or alone. Maybe he was assuring them that God sees them, each of them, through the lens of love. A few years ago, I was in New York City, and it was when, do you remember the first Avatar movie, when that came out? And just up from Times Square, like 7th Avenue and about 50th, there is an IMAX theater there, and they were going to be showing Avatar at IMAX 3D. And so, I mean, 3D has been around since the 50s. Y'all remember the glasses? They used to be like blue and red, you know? And so you go into, everybody gets a pair of glasses when you go into the theater. And if you don't put them on, It's very fussy looking because it's two images on the screen. And so if you don't have them on, you're looking, it's kind of hazy. And then when you put on the glasses, man, it's so sharp. And in that IMAX thing, there's a scene in that Avatar movie where this big tree is burning and the ashes are coming down, and there were ashes landing on my shoulder. I mean, really, that's how realistic it was. And so I'm wondering if when Jesus is saying this stuff to the people, he is sort of putting on those glasses that clear up everything. He's looking out in the crowd, and instead of seeing a blurry mass of humanity, he sees each person in their particularity. He sees some who are poor and sorrowful. He sees others who are meek and hungry. He sees people who are vulnerable and afraid. And he understands that what they need more than anything is to be seen and loved. Those two things. I see you, he says. I see each of you as you are. And you are nothing less than God's beloved. So where is your pain this day? Those who are here in the sanctuary, those who are listening online, those who are listening on radio, where is it? Where is that pain that you feel that nobody knows about, nobody sees? Can you name it? Are you grieving? You're beloved. And God sees you. Are you hurting? God sees you. And you are beloved. Are you afraid? God sees you. And you are loved. Are you sick? Are you lonely? God sees you and God loves you. You are not invisible. I want to close with a really great quote from another Episcopalian, Debbie Thomas, who I've quoted before. When she's thinking about the Beatitudes, just listen, this is so good. She says, "The first thing I tend to ask when I am hurting is, where is God? Why has God abandoned me? The Beatitudes assure me that God doesn't exit my life when I find myself in low places. If anything, God is most present in the shadows, most attentive in the fire. God is always close to the destitute, the anguished, the lost, and the confused. God accompanies those who go weeks, months, years hungry for a sign, a word, a crumb, a drop. Our hunger is not indicative of God's absence. Our hunger is the sign we seek. The blessing we chase resides in the shadows. You are beloved. Wherever your situation is today, you're beloved. God loves you. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And God sees you and sees your situation and is with you. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray together. Lord, we confess that many times, like Debbie Thomas, that when we're hurting, we think you've abandoned us. For all those who are in hospital rooms today, who are in wheelchairs today, who are grieving, all those who are hurting, who are lonely, who feel invisible, let them, Lord, let them sense your love. Let them sense your gaze on their life, on your life and their presence. Thank you, God, that you're with us in all the times of our lives, not just the good times. That we are beloved when we mourn. We're beloved when we grieve. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.